Hallelujah. Well, as Pastor Bill said, our pastors are getting some rest. And, well, I don't know how much rest Miss Hagen's getting. I'm sure she's cooking Thanksgiving dinner, right? Getting things ready. But, and of course, they've got a wedding coming up. So it's an honor and a great responsibility for me to stand here tonight and an hour of power. And we thank God for His Word. How many of you are glad for the Word of God? Amen. Well, if you got your Bible, turn over to Philemon, whatever how he says his name. But Philemon here, of course, only has one chapter. I want to start tonight in verse 6. Philemon, chapter 1, but start in verse 6. Been looking at this scripture a little bit and want to go back into it some tonight. Verse 6 says in the King James that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, looking at that, there's three words there that I want to kind of mention here as we go. But first of all, the word communication. If you look that up, now I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but I can read what Greek scholars have said. They tell us this word means partnership, fellowship, participation. He says here that the partnership and your participation of your faith may become effectual. That's the word active and powerful. That our faith, that as we participate in the life of faith, that it would become powerful. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The word acknowledging there, and looking it up in Strong's there, says recognition, full discernment. Of course, it translates acknowledgement, precise and correct knowledge. So let me read this. That the partnership, fellowship, and participation of your faith may become active and powerful by the recognition, full discernment, acknowledgement, and precise and correct knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think now more than ever, now this is not a new message by any means, but now more than ever. And Brother Hagin and others have said every generation has to be taught the things of God, because every one of us are God's children, right? Every one of us need to know. But to be God inside minded and to realize that we are living life, and the life that we are to live now is a life that is to be lived from our union in Christ. Him in us and us in Him. And the acknowledging, that recognition. See, sometimes we don't recognize the good things that are in us. Sometimes we don't fully discern it. But we are to discern it. We are to recognize that this good thing and the good things that are in us in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. Now here at the end of Paul's, this is the second prayer in Ephesians. Paul talked about be strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. Again, that inner strength. Now, I was just say this now. For the Christian to try to be strong in and of ourselves is going to be a waste of time. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about, that didn't mean just be a wimp, all right? I'm not saying that. We're not talking about that. But sometimes, you know, later on Ephesians says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I think a lot of times we've got the idea, you know, we're hunkering down. We're getting in a strong position. But he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. His might, His power, His ability. Well, where is that? Well, it's off in heaven. If you could ever get God to let loose of it, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful? And I think that's how a lot of times, you know, whether we say it or not, I don't know about you. I've been guilty of it. I've lived that way. Live like it all depended on me. Amen. Instead of living out of that union with Christ and the good things that He's placed there. Now, in verse 20, he gets down here, and this has kind of become a salutation. You know, people read this at the end of their services or different things. But here, as Paul closes out this first half of the book of Ephesians, And you have two halves here, two distinct halves of the book of Ephesians. Here, he's closing out the portion that talks about who we are in Christ because of that union with him. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 is like, what now? Okay, what do you do with that? But he says in verse 20, now unto him that is able. Boy, I like that. That is able. That's the word, the root word of dunamis, or that power. To him that is able, to him that is capable, to him that has the ability, to him that has the power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now notice this, according to the power that works where? In us. In us. See, we need to begin and continue, begin for some and continue for others to acknowledge that power that is in us. And live in the reality that the power of God, the might of God is in me. He's in you. The God's power. Well, if I could just get enough people to pray. No, that power is in you. Nothing wrong with getting people to pray, but listen, that power is already in you. Now, it's unto him that is able. Everybody say, God is able. That means with God, it's not impossible, right? With God, it is possible. To do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Amen? Now, I'm gonna read this from the Passion Translation. Now, when you read, sometimes you got to be careful. You read something from a certain supposed translation or book, and they say, well, see, they endorse. I'm just reading this verse because I like the way it's said, okay? I'm not giving a statement on the whole translation or so-called translation that it is. But this, I really like how this said this. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Amen. Glory to God. What kind of power? That's miracle working power. Resurrection power on the inside of us. And he says it will do, I love what he says, infinitely more than your greatest request. See, that's above all that you could ask, right? Your most unbelievable dream. Or think, he said, and you're exceeding and exceeds your wildest imagination. So in reading that, where would you guess then limits are put on God? Not from God's standpoint. The limit is on our end. We have limited God. I have limited God. Now, maybe none of you in here have done that, but I know I have. So I'll preach to myself tonight. I know at times I have limited God. I've looked at situations and I thought, well, that's the... No, but you know, God can do... If I can think it, he can go beyond it. If I can dream it, he can do more than that. You see, unto him that is able, he is able. So tonight, we just want to talk about the ability of God and not focus on... We're going to talk about it, but we're going to talk about how... A little bit, finish up with how we release that ability. But I want to go back and start in Matthew. We'll just go Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And look at a few scriptures that talk about how with God, nothing is impossible. And remind ourselves of that. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. See, we're not interested in just knowing, just saying out of our head, oh yeah, I know God, he can do everything. No, that's not going to get results. It's God is able because of what he's already done in me, in you. Well, say, well, I'm just a new Christian. That power's in you. Amen. Amen. Now here in Matthew, we'll start in Matthew 17. Now I'm just going to take these in order. Now here Jesus says, cast the devil out of this young boy. And the disciples couldn't figure out why they couldn't do it. Verse 20, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Now, we'll say this, our unbelief will hinder the working of that possibility power. All right? He said, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, he's just talking about a little small seed. That's a small seed. You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, or get out of the way, basically, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I want you to hold that thought as we read everything else that we're going to read. Here he didn't say anything about God having no impossibilities. He said nothing would be impossible to the person who speaks their faith. Nothing is impossible to those who tell, if you tell the mountain to move, right? It's going to move. Why? Because there's nothing impossible. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 19. And I want us to keep that thought in our, that nothing's impossible. He didn't say nothing's impossible with God. That would be a good statement, right? But he said nothing is impossible to you. Now here, again, Jesus is talking. This rich young man has come to him, and he went away sorrowfully because Jesus told him, sell all you have and follow me. Which that would have been a good deal. But he had much possessions, and so he was sorrowful. And the disciples, they said, who can get saved then? And Jesus answered in verse 26. Jesus beheld and said, with men this is impossible. Now, there are some things that are impossible to us. You can't save yourself. Right? You can't heal yourself. You can't do what only God can do. Let's put it that way. So when we say this, again, please, would you keep remembering this? Stay out of the ditch when you hear stuff. Oh, nothing's impossible to me that I can do. That means I can. No, you can't save yourself. Right? You can't heal yourself. You can't do it in and of yourself. Without God, you can do nothing. But thank God we're not without him. But if we understand, so don't go in the ditch, you know, and make us be making an absolute statement when we're not making an absolute statement. Does that make sense to you? Okay. But he says here, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. How many things? All things are possible. Glory to God. Mark chapter 9. Now, a lot of these are going to be the same count. These are the synoptic gospels. They tell many of the same events. And so, but that's all right. Faith doesn't come because you heard. It comes by hearing. Hearing. Mark chapter 9. Here again, this young man comes to them. This man brings his son to them, and the disciples couldn't help him, but the father's talking to him. Here, Mark adds a little bit more detail. And the man asked him, it said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Remember now, in Matthew brought out, all things are possible to you. How? Now, he adds something here to us. All things are possible to him that believes. Now, that word possible there, it comes from the word, same root word as that dunamis, that ability of God, that power of God, where he said God is able. It comes from that same word. All things are possible to you who believe. Well, how many believers we got in here? You just raise your hand, testified that you're limitless because of faith in God. In the areas that God is unlimited, we are. Because we can believe God, right? Look at chapter 10. Here's the story. This rich young ruler came to him again. The disciples were amazed. Here Mark quotes almost exactly the same, verse 27. Jesus looking upon them, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Now, here's something else to know about God in his word. He doesn't repeat himself just to hear himself. These things aren't written again just because they need to be. No, they're written again to make a point. He's trying to get something across to us. You see, Jesus was ministering in a culture of religion that said God couldn't do certain things. Amen. I mean, we live in a culture that says there is no God. But with God, all things are possible. How many of you are glad you're with God tonight?
Yes.
Amen. All right, one more place in Mark. Mark chapter 14. Now, I like Jesus said this as he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he makes a statement. He knows this about God. He's actually requesting something from God that he probably knows is not God's will. But I want you to see what he says here in verse 36. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee, or to you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Now, he acknowledged here something, and I wanted to bring it out again, just because Jesus once again acknowledges that with God, all things are possible to God. All things are possible. But because what he was asking, he knew wasn't God's will. He said, but not my will, your will be done. Now, some people say, well, see, now that tells me then that you just don't know. Who can know? Well, no, God's given us his word to tell us what his will is. When the Bible says that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, it's telling you it's God's will that you be healed. Because Jesus paid for it. It's God's will. Isn't it God's will who will have every man to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? That word saved means healed, delivered, set free. Taken out from under out of the kingdom of darkness, translating the kingdom of his dear son. That sin no longer has dominion over us. We've been set free from it. Hallelujah. See, we know those things are God's will. Amen. Amen. But you might, but what if, you know, you're believing, you might be looking at a situation and say, well, I want that. I want that job. You need to make sure it's God's will. Amen. See, that's where you'd pray. He's consecrated himself. He's look, God, I know that all things are possible. With you, God, all things are possible. But I'm not asking you to override your will. Now, sometimes we need to understand that. How many of you found, I was just with Pastor Daryl Huffman. As we were out eating one night, and he was talking about something and really, really blessed me as he was talking about this, that God had showed him that there's two things with God that a lot of times we miss, but we need to understand there's two parts. Number one is God's will. How many of you know we need to know God's will? But then we also need to know God's way. I thought that was very important, very good to understand. The Bible says that God made known his will unto the children of Israel and his ways unto Moses. He knew the way of God. Now, how many of you remember when the leper came? He'd heard there was a powerful God in Israel. He heard that God could heal, right? And so he came to the prophet. And when he got there, the prophet told him to go wash in the river seven times. He didn't like that. He didn't like God's way. He wanted it a different way. Amen. But when he did it God's way, he got healed, didn't he? See, sometimes we need to understand that there's a way God's going to do it. Sometimes, you know, that's what we're struggling. Well, God, we're trying to help God's way. We're deciding the way. No, let God do it his way. Now, how do I do that? Well, just do whatever he told you to do. If he tells you to do something, do it. If he tells you to do nothing, do that. All right? I don't know this. I've gotten in God's way several times. Luke chapter 1. Here, Mary has been visited by the angel, Gabriel. And she's asking, how am I going to have a child? I'm a virgin. How am I going to have a child? And the angel Gabriel talked about how the Holy Spirit's power would overshadow her, and she was literally the Word became flesh. And then in verse 37, the angel said something very interesting. Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now I want you right now, if you got your Bible there and you got a pen, underline, thank you. I'm saying underscore, but that's kind of King James underscore. Underline the word nothing. That word nothing is from the word rhema. For with God, with God, no word that he's spoken shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Inherent in everything God says is the power to bring it to pass. Every word of God. For with God, nothing. It's, you know, if you look in Webster's dictionary about what nothing, you know what nothing means? No thing. I know that's deep revelation tonight. That was worth coming out on the night before Thanksgiving right there. No thing. Nothing shall be impossible. Some of you preachers need to work that into your sermons. That'll really help some people there. Great revelation, right? Nothing, no word from God, no rhema, no inspired word shall be impossible. And that's why Mary said, well, let it be done unto me according to, and then she used the word rhema. Let it be done unto me according to the rhema. Woo, glory to God. Ha ha. Amen. Well, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Let it be done unto me according to that rhema word. You see? All right. Look in Luke 18. Luke 18. Now remember, the first one we read in Matthew said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and shall say unto the mountain to remove itself, it will remove, for nothing shall be impossible unto you. He told him, he said, why couldn't we cast him? He said, it's because of your unbelief. Well, I don't know about you. Let's just choose to believe what the Bible says, right? Now here in Luke 18, and here is, the story again of this young man, this certain ruler who came to Jesus asking about eternal life. And it gets down here to verse 27. The disciples were asking, who can be saved then? The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now remember, Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. He said, nothing shall be impossible to those that believe. Okay? Well, let's go to Mark 11. Let's end with that tonight. We have the potential, the ability, the capability of living a limitless life in the areas that God's word has taken the limits off of us. Amen. See, I'm not under sin's dominion anymore, so I'm not limited by my sin any longer. Sin no longer has dominion over us, Romans 6 says. I'm not limited by sickness and disease because by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Now, we know the devil's going to try in these areas. I'm not limited financially because my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, see, unless you're willing to boldly declare those things, you'll never have those things. Because he said, speak to the mountain. And the mountain will be removed, right? So we know in Mark 11, verse 22, he said, have faith in God or have the faith of God. And then verse 23, what's he say here? Mark 11, 23. For whose, he said, well, hang on a second. I get to quoting it and I mess up. I want to read it exactly as it says it in the King James Bible. Verily I say unto you that whosoever, how many whosoevers we got in here? All right. Shall say unto this mountain. See, we've got to connect our voice to our beliefs. I love that in 1 Samuel 17 when David goes out to face the giant. That rock did not bring that giant down. David's words brought that giant down in the power of God. He said, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Now listen, I don't care how big your mountain looks to you tonight. And I don't care how big it is. Listen to me. Faith is bigger. Faith is bigger. Your faith in the God who knows no impossibilities is bigger than any mountain that's standing in your way, any mountain that you face. Now, it's impossible to get. Jesus said it's impossible that offense won't come. Offense, you're going to have opportunity to be offended. He said it's impossible to do away with that. Why? Because you're in the earth. And we know this, that the rain and the storms are going to come against everybody. But those who know that God has made his word available to us, and that because of that, we know no impossibility through that word, and will boldly stand and declare the word and speak to the mountain, the storm won't have any effect. Amen. Speaking to it. Faith. Speak to the mountain. Now notice he said speak to the mountain. He didn't say talk about the mountain. You got to talk to the mountain. See, faith always addresses the issue. Jesus, you know, the wind and waves are blowing. The waves are crashing in the boat. Jesus told the wind, stop, peace, be still. Well, when that stopped, all the waves stopped, right? But Jesus spoke. And so, if we have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, just small amount. See, it's not, a lot of times we've tried to, well, you got to have a lot of faith. No, just what faith do you have? Begin there. Begin to speak what you believe. Now, we know the Bible says we're to call things that be not as though they were. I go back to first one I ever heard say it, and I believe it was Brother Charles Capps, who said the Lord told him, said, I told my people they could have what they say, and they've been saying what they have. I said, now, brother, are you really telling me you really believe that our words and what we say affects our life? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because you and I are created in the image of God. If you're born again, you have his nature on the inside of you, and his nature is to speak and see it come to pass. And you and I have the same nature and the same ability from God to speak and see it to come to pass in our life. Amen. That's why this message, I'm telling you, again, I thank God for the opportunity. Brother Tony gets to go. I know Brother Kirk, several others of you go. Ben Bruce, you've been around, been to some of these places, get to go around the world. And you see people get a hold of this message, and it literally changes their family. It changes the entire destiny of their family. It can change an entire destiny of a people. It can change the entire destiny of a nation. Getting a hold of speaking the word of God. Now, some of you aren't old enough to even know there was a wall in Berlin. But there was a wall in Berlin between the freedom side and the communist side, right? And we grew up thinking that wall will never come down. This is something. But people got a hold of the authority that the Christian has to speak God's word, and they started telling that wall to come down. Yes. People that live there, they started telling that wall to come down, and it came down. Yes. Amen? Yes. All things are possible to him that believes, because with God, everything is possible. God, who now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The acknowledgement. The acknowledgement. The acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. But if you don't ever speak it out, it won't affect your life. Let it come out of you. Speak the word. Speak it out. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We give you praise in this place tonight, Father. Thank you for your word, Father. We're so thankful. Thank you, Lord, as we act on, speak upon, and speak your word. That there is nothing impossible to him that believes. And so, Father, we thank you tonight that your word is true. And I thank you, Father God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the limits be taken off. Let the boundaries be blown through. Let the walls of doubt and unbelief be destroyed in front of us. As we speak, mountain, you have to move in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you want to study more along this line, and I encourage you, we've got a whole section of books out there written by Brother Haig on faith, confession, all kinds of things like that. Go on out there, get those books. In fact, one of the great books is Man's Impossibility, God's Possibilities by Pastor Hagin. I was looking at that today. I didn't work any of it in tonight, but he talked about having possibility faith. I like that statement. Possibility faith. That's a great term, isn't it? Amen. Connection team, would you find our guests? Those of you that were here for the first time, we want you to go and get that gift that's prepared on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagin, Rhema Bible Church. Thank you so much for being here tonight. God bless you. If you'll go with our connection team member right now, you can go pick up your children. Go by there and pick that gift up and go by and pick up your children. If you have them here, we're so glad that you're with us tonight. Let's give them a big hand clap, our first-time guests tonight. Be back here. I know next Wednesday night, I know Pastor will be here, and so you want to hear our pastor as he ministers the Word of God. Praise the Lord. It's such an honor. When you're in something, you don't realize it until something maybe like today happens. And I just got to think, what an honor to sit under this ministry and these pastors. And it's just an awe-inspiring thing, not because they're so, you know, but because about who they are in God and what God is doing through them. And you just thank God. And it's such an honor as a minister to be under that and to come up in that and to have that relationship. It's such a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand together, if you would, please. If you need prayer tonight, ladies, come to ladies, men to the men. Don't forget now, folks, the streetlights are probably off out there. So if you're driving, if they might be on or they might not, but if you're driving, be careful. You know, little children, they don't know but to run across. They see another light, they want to run over there and see it, right? So be careful tonight as you go out there and drive. Usually coming in and out of church at night, I leave my lights on because I'm not looking at the lights. I'm looking for people. I don't want to run into those. So, but just be careful out there. And if you want to sign up to help, go on out in the north lobby. And you can do that, all right? We good, Pastor Bill? I think we're good, everything? All right. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great Thanksgiving.